from reflecting on that amazing day, remember these words from this morning. I'm asking God for one thing only, to live with him in his house my whole life long, to contemplate his beauty, I'll study at his feet. That's the only quiet, secure place in a noisy world, the perfect getaway far from the buzz of traffic. And God is always with us. His presence is with us when we are in the middle of traffic at home in Vancouver area. But when we are really far away from that buzz here on Anvil, it's like our eyes open, our ears open, our hearts open in a different way to be aware of his presence with us. So tonight, as we praise him, I encourage you to rise and sing and join in. To praise God and give thanks for a wonderful day.
Awesome.
I think you're
good.
What did this do?
Remember this one?
Cause you're alive.
Thanks, you guys can take a seat.
Awesome.
Hey, before you sit down, everyone back on your feet. I love it. I want everybody on this side to go high five someone on that side. Go for it. It means you have to move a little bit. Awesome. Good job, guys. This is how we make friends
and how we waste time.
People on this side move.
Yeah, good point.
When you're done, you can grab a seat, please. It's safe. Am I safe? Here we go. That was fun.
I'm doing good. You know, when you get old, you start getting a little more chub down there.
Okay, grab a seat if you're able. You know, who's had an awesome day so far? Can I be honest with you? I got a weird addiction. Like, I love
scaring the crap out of people. So I apologize to everyone here who I scared before the photos. I apologize to you, Kayla, up there. Today she was moving some boxes for that game in the afternoon, and I thought it'd be funny to hide in one. And she got scared. So good. I apologize. I don't know what's wrong with me. Neither do you. Okay. Hey, I'm going to pray. Tonight we're going to try something a little bit different. This morning we talked, and I'll do a little quick recap. And then I'm going to answer a few of your questions that you guys submitted today, your cabin leader would have given to me. And these questions are connected to the talk this morning. So it's a kind of cool way to kind of get your input and make sure we're on the same page on some stuff. And we're going to do that every night. But on top of that, each night we're going to have some sort of story, some sort of testimony from someone. And I heard the person giving their testimony tonight and sharing their story is like the best looking person in that camp, okay? So I'm going to pray, and you guys can just wonder who that is. The Lord God. Lord, I don't know why you gave me this twisted sense of humor. Father, seriously though, thank you so much that we can laugh. I know sometimes when we think about church and we think about quote-unquote religious gathering, sometimes laughter and joy are not the first things that come to mind sometimes. So thank you for this camp. Thank you. In this chapel, we can come and laugh and have joy, and that's okay. And in fact, I think you like that. So in this moment, we're going to kind of, you know, try something a little different. But just, you know, be with us. Help us. Help me. In Jesus' name. Amen. So it's a really, really quick recap. This morning we looked at Luke 15, verse 1 and 2. And we kind of set the scene. This week we're going to be focusing on one story that essentially follows this conversation. But sometimes when you just go straight into a story in the Bible without understanding who Jesus is talking to, it can slightly change the point of the story, maybe the message he's trying to get across. So very simply this morning, I told the worst thing I've ever done in my life. I made a kid eat dog poo, and I really held back on what I really wanted to share. So like, just so you know, so you guys can keep your appetite. But this morning, we kind of talked about here Jesus is. He's sitting with people in that culture who would have been considered like super duper far off from him. Like the worst of the worst in that culture. And while he's sitting with them and eating with them, the people in that culture who would have been considered the closest to God, on a surface level at least, they weren't really cool with that. But here Jesus is, and he eventually goes into the story, and we kind of talk about very briefly, he's with everyone, he speaks to everyone, he loves everyone. Sound good? Now you guys went back to your cabins and you kind of discussed it a little bit, and then you kind of came up with some questions, and there are a lot of good questions. I'm just going to focus on three just for time's sake. But if you do have a question that came out of this morning's talk and you really want it to be answered, and if it's not on the screen tonight, just come ask me. Cool? Cool? You guys are awesome. I don't care what they say. Okay, so what's next? No one's saying anything. I'm kidding. Okay, what's the first question? What's the first question? I'm going to get in trouble here. Question one. One, two, three. Ready? Read. That's a great question. So it was one in the cabin. They're saying, today, what do Pharisees look like? Well, just to take, I'm going to maybe take just 2 or 3 minutes on each question. Very quickly, going back into the Bible time, the Pharisees, like we said, they spent a lot of time, they're focused on following the scriptures of God, but they kind of put their own rules and own commentaries and own laws essentially on top of God's law. And they kind of got very legalistic, they kind of missed it, and eventually, you know, these people were looked at in the culture, in the cities, in the synagogues, as like the righteous people, like the super duper proper, perfect, like the people that they exalted kind of thing. And just kind of understand this a little bit more so I can answer this question a little bit better. In Matthew 15, Jesus, he actually calls out these Pharisees. He calls out these religious leaders. And he basically says, listen, like on the outside, you're doing everything right. And you're, with your lips, you're saying the right thing. And but he calls them out and he basically says, but like your worship is in vain. And your heart is like far apart from me. So he's saying on the surface level to these Pharisees, like it looks really nice, but he's saying like your heart isn't there. Like you're just doing this to exalt your name or your image or your status in our culture. And Jesus was actually quite firm with them. Later on in Matthew, I think Matthew 23, Jesus, again, was quite firm with these Pharisees and kind of said the exact same thing. Like, you tell people, like, you have to do A, B, and C, and you put all this legalistic weight on their shoulders, but you don't do anything to actually help anybody. And you're not actually showing love. You're basically saying, here's the way to get close to God, but you're standing in their way to get to God. Kind of interesting, right? So I would say in this answer, real quick, who are today's Pharisees? Maybe people who might act that same way. The people who are kind of doing it just to put on a show. And maybe they could go to church, and in their church, they put a certain display up, put a certain image up. And in their church, maybe they are exalted. Maybe they are praised. Maybe someone's like, oh yeah, that person. But maybe that person, their heart isn't in the right place. Now, I don't know who that person is, and I'm not the one to judge that in any way, shape, or form. But it could be that person. It could be the person who kind of is slamming the Bible down on people over and over and over on a very legalistic way, but not doing anything in the love and grace to actually help someone to understand God's love or how to follow him or how to walk the way he calls us to walk. So I would say that today's Pharisee is a person who puts that weight on someone's shoulder but stands in the way of them maybe coming into the church, coming into a relationship with God and knowing Christ. Sound good? Awesome. Cool. Okay, next question. Cool. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. Ready, read. Okay, so it's a great question. First of all, I think Jesus did hang out with the religious people. We see Jesus, he taught in synagogues. He taught like all these people. He had a lot of conversation with different rabbis and different religious leaders in that time. Now, a lot of times, some of the religious leaders, they came to Jesus, trying to get him, like, kind of expose him a little bit, or try to, like, maybe get him, like, you know, caught up in his words, or they question him quite a bit, and try to really put him on the spot. But it's funny, Jesus still engaged in conversation with these people, who are basically trying to throw him under the bus. So I don't think Jesus did not hang out with religious people, but in some cases, Jesus might have been a little more firm with them, which is kind of interesting. But why did Jesus always hang out with sinners? Well, we know Jesus loved everyone. And I think I may have briefly touched on it this morning. Somehow in our culture, we have developed this mindset that Jesus just loves people who love Jesus. We develop this weird mindset that Jesus just loves the people who go to church, people who identify with being a Christian. And if you're a sinner, if you're like the tax collector, if you're far off here, or if you belong to another community or a social group or a belief system, we have this weird mindset that Jesus doesn't love them. And you do not see that in any way, shape, or form in the Bible. Now, you might see that with maybe Pharisees. Maybe make it sound like Jesus doesn't love maybe people on maybe that side of the spectrum. I'm going to talk about that in a few minutes. But Jesus, we see him hanging out with sinners because these people need the love of God. In that culture, like Jesus even said something along the lines of like, it's not the healthy that needs a doctor, it's the sick. And the reality is we're all born in sin, so we all need Jesus. But a lot of people in this culture, they would have been considered like the outcast. Although some of these people had very little social rights or maybe none. If you're all into social justice, again, read everything that Jesus did. He was on the front line of social justice. But I think he spent a lot of time with these people because they were coming to him. And maybe they're coming to him with that brokenness. Maybe they're coming to him looking for hope, looking for a new way of life, looking for something. And maybe deep down, they knew what they had was not fulfilling. And it's amazing that Jesus accepted anyone and everyone. For example, it sounds weird in our culture today. Jesus talked to and accepted and spent time with women in the sense of like helping them. Now, in that culture, women were considered like the low of the lows. So women's right, Jesus essentially started that. That's pretty cool. And because that in culture is somewhat of a no-no. And Jesus will spend time and pray and talk to them. Super duper cool. But these are people who came to Jesus. People with leprosy. If you had leprosy, it's like a skin condition. And you were basically literally told you had to like leave society. You were considered unclean, and they were afraid if you got in contact with society, you'll make someone else unclean. They couldn't go to the synagogue and like all this sort of stuff. And we see Jesus hanging out with people with leprosy. Jesus hung out with everybody. And honestly, I think there's groups in our culture in 2018 where maybe we develop the mindset, well, Jesus will hang out with all these people but them. But honestly, I believe if Jesus was literally walking this earth right now in 2018, I honestly believe Jesus will be hanging out with maybe some of these groups of people in our culture that we wouldn't even expect him to be sitting with. How cool is that? Everyone needs Jesus, and I honestly believe everyone's searching for Jesus on this planet. They may not realize Jesus is the one they're searching for, though. Next question. Please. Question number 3. Oh, you're good. Did I bore everyone already? 1, 2, 3, ready, read. Yeah, so this morning I kind of mentioned the idea Jesus is with everyone. I think on that aspect, I was looking at like he's physically with both sides of the spectrum in this conversation. So in that conversation, he was with the people who are considered far off and the people considered super duper close. So someone says, well, why do we have to ask him into our hearts? Well, maybe we'll talk about that a little deeper this week. But here's the thing, in that culture, a lot of the people who did come to Jesus, even people who are coming with like issues, or maybe people are far off, or maybe there's some religious leaders who came to Jesus in the right heart. But the reality is not everyone believed Jesus was the Christ. Not everyone believed Jesus was the Messiah. Messiah and Christ, that's a Hebrew word and a Greek word, translated in English is the anointed one. Not everyone believed Jesus was like the Son of God. They believed he was a teacher. They believed he was some religious, you know, like smart pants, you know, like, you know, whatever it would be. They believed he was just maybe a prophet. So I think the whole idea when people accept Jesus in the heart is acknowledging Jesus wasn't just some guy walking around doing healings and having really good teaching, having a big crowd. Because again, a lot of people were around Jesus, but not everyone accepted him. Maybe we'll talk about that a little bit deeper. Hopefully I give you just a couple, answer to a few questions that you have asked. And we're going to do this every single day based on every talk in the morning. Maybe go a little bit deeper. Some questions might be super duper quick. Some might have a longer answer. But what we're also going to do each night is have someone come up and maybe share a little bit of their story and how maybe it resonates with the talk that we did this morning. So drum roll, please. But the person coming up with a testimony today, the most handsome person in camp is... I think we have it on the slide. Hey, okay, hi. So, hey. And everyone's severely disappointed. Okay, so. I apologize for lying on the hot part. Okay, so. Check this out. I'm going to share it a little bit because some people know me, some people don't. I'm going to share maybe just in a couple minutes a little bit about my background. And the reason why I kind of want to share this today, because if we talk about this idea of the tax collectors and the sinners who are far off from God, that's the person I identify with. And especially in my life, and especially with my upbringing, that's the person, that's the group that I associate with. I get that mindset. I grew up in a little village called Toronto. Anyone ever been to Toronto before? Yeah, a couple people. And some of you guys may have heard this. I think I shared a little bit of my story 2 years ago when I was here, because no one had any idea who I was. Who was there 2 years ago might even remember this a little bit. So bear with me. I'm going to make this quick, but I'm going to kind of tie it into this and kind of set the tone for the week. So check this out. I didn't grow up in your church home. You probably got the sense of that when I made a kid eat dog poo. You know what I mean? So like, clearly no morals and values or care, you know, it's totally. I think the kid got pink eye, you know. Anyways, whole different conversation. But I grew up in probably what I would call a non-Christian home, a non-church home. I had a couple sisters, no brothers. My mom, stay-at-home mom. My dad, he worked. That's what he did. Good times. So when I was a little bit older, when I was 13, what happened was my mom and dad, they broke up. My mom was cheating on my dad for about 2 years, give or take. And that's not a great way to keep a marriage strong, right? So, yeah, I think that's a good, yeah. Write that down. Okay, so. If you don't believe me, Google it, okay? So. And the weird thing is, like, life was kind of just normal until that moment. And I remember that moment so well. It was a Sunday night. It was actually March 31st. I remember that night. And usually, like, on Sundays, we would kind of have, like, a family dinner and kind of cook something decent. And I remember just coming down to the kitchen, and it was just kind of like sandwiches, like bologna and all that sort of stuff. And, like, I was like, oh, that's weird. That's different. And, like, you know, my dad was really quiet, and my mom kind of made that announcement. And just, I remember, like, my life is going, like, You know, you can't really explain it. But they broke up. Whatever, that happens. About a year later, what happened was my mom, the guy she cheated with, she wanted him to move in and basically become like my new dad. My dad wasn't the greatest dad on the planet. She had this weird idea that he's just going to come in, replace him. I don't know, it made sense to her. So I didn't get along with him, and what happened was in August, before I started grade 9, I got in a fight with the dude, and like, you know, more like a verbal fight, but it was just like, you know, big disagreement and kind of stupid things happening. And my mom decided, hey, I'm kicking you out. So I get kicked out on that evening. Now, it wasn't like a, hey, come back tomorrow, everything cool. It was the next day, the police had to escort me back into my house, and they gave me a garbage bag, and they said, you got 5 minutes to grab your stuff. At 14. Remember, I have a dog. Remember that story? They don't fit in garbage bags. Unless you want them to die. That's a whole different conversation, too. Okay, so. I'm sure my neighbor who played basketball probably wanted that. Anyways, okay, so here we go. Did someone snort? Anyone out here? Please sit in the front row tomorrow. This is perfect, okay? Eyes up here, people. Awkward. Okay, so. What are they talking about? Dead dogs. Okay, so. So what happened was I moved in with my dad. Now, I may have said this before. My dad, he didn't care what I did. He worked all day. He made a buttload of money, and he basically drank all night. That was basically almost what he did every single day. Almost. So he didn't care what I did. So imagine going through high school when you live with one parent. It didn't matter who you hung out with. Didn't matter what time you came home. Didn't matter what you did. I know sometimes at your age, you think, man, I wish my parents didn't care. And sitting in the seat, man, I'll say this. You should thank God that your parents care. And you should thank God that your parents care where you are and what time you come home and what you're doing. Because I was the result of someone not caring. And growing up in Toronto, like, you have easy access to doing anything for the most part. And honestly, I got messed up and I kind of got mixed up with the wrong group of people. I knew better. And one thing led to another and led to another. And for about all those years in high school, I kind of got involved in the street life. And I wasn't like in a gang. I know like every testimony someone has a gang, you know, for some reason, you know. But like I wouldn't call it a gang. But, you know, just the wrong group. And we, you know, spent a lot of time on the streets just doing stupid things. But that kind of had like a domino effect. And then I started getting involved with the drugs and the alcohol. And before I was 18, you know, I was arrested twice, just doing stupid things. And everything that I did, I thought would like maybe fulfill me a little bit. I thought it was the answer. I thought it would lead to that life. And near the end of high school, man, I was the most broken person ever. I hated people. Hated people. And I'm not over-exaggerating this. I'm not embellishing this at all. I would walk down the hallways in my high school, and someone would say hello to me. I wouldn't even literally like smile and say hi back. I would just walk past them. I'd walk around with a chip on my shoulder. I kind of hated people. And I was kind of like, I wasn't depressed, but I wasn't exactly, you know, full of joy. That's my life. Pretty crazy, eh? I know some of you guys are like, what? I didn't laugh. I hated laughing. I had no joy in my life. I was a broken kid. And not only was I a broken kid, like I would maybe have been one of those people who would have been considered so far off from God. For my ideas and my beliefs and my lifestyle and the choices that I make. And I'm the type of person that when we read the story that we're going to go into with the prodigal son. And this morning we talk about the tax collector and the sinners. Like, that's who I identify with. And on paper, I'm sure there's people who would have looked at me, maybe people in the church, maybe people more on like, you know, the legalistic side, and probably would have said like, wow, that person, like, there's no hope for him. And I thank God, literally, like God saw me. He knew me. And he was with me. He was able to speak to me. And I thank God that he still loved me no matter how far off I was. One of my good friends growing up, has anyone ever had a friend where, like, when you're young, your mom or dad is friends with their mom and dad, and they wanted to hang out, and by default, you had to hang out with their kid? That's what I call a friend by default. You know what I'm talking about? Is anyone sitting beside one of them right now? Put your hand down. I'm kidding. So bad. I love it. So good. Well, my friend Daryl, everyone say Daryl. Okay, try it again. Daryl. You guys still with me? You're with me? Okay, give me 2 more minutes, and we'll bring the band back up. Daryl, I mentioned this 2 years ago, and I love mentioning this. I mentioned this on TV, like everything. Daryl, he started going to church because that's where all the hot girls were. Any men can relate to that? I'm kidding. Don't put your hand down. Put your hand down. They creep Facebook. No, I'm joking. There's no Facebook back then. I'm not sure how Daryl somehow found out that's even true, but he started going to a local church, and that local church, they actually ran a basketball ministry in my high school every Saturday night. That was pretty cool. Like, you know, when I was grade 6, I asked for Super Nintendo. Parents bought me a basketball net. Sure, he made a kid eat dog poo, but I became a pretty good basketball player. And that became a passion of mine. I played basketball through like junior high. I played basketball all through high school. I was on my high school team, like I mentioned this morning. And it's interesting how that little passion got me connected to a church group. Come play basketball, no string attached. And I went there and I got connected with some of the people there and one of the youth pastors who ran it. His name was Rob. This guy took an interest in my life. And to me, this guy was reflecting Jesus. We might actually talk about this a tiny bit in a couple of days. But Rob, rather than looking at me and saying, here's a dude that's so far off from God, he's hopeless. Rob saw me, the guy, he looked at me, and he saw hope in me. He didn't write me off. And he was able to reflect the love of Jesus in my life and speak God's words into my life and remind me and let me know, maybe for the first time, that God is with me. Changed everything. And then he asked me out for lunch. That's a little creepy. It is. If you don't go to church and when like a 28-year-old asks like a 17-year-old out for lunch, that's weird, okay? That's just not like normal unless you go in a church environment. So I'm like, call 911, you know, like I'm not. But each week, he kept investing in me when I came to basketball, and I finally trusted him enough to go out for lunch, get to know him on a personal level, and then he invited me to church. Now, honestly, I can still remember showing up to church for one of the first times in my life. And I remember walking in. I probably looked almost identical in the way I dress right now. And I still remember this very well. A couple of things. I remember walking in that door. I remember how many people were just staring at me like, this kid doesn't belong here. I remember that very well. And like, in hindsight, I'm like, what? Like, isn't this is what the church for? People like me? People who are so far off? People who recognize and identify with the tax collectors and sinners? Like, is this not what church is about? Is this not our mission at the church? Reach people and find people like me? And when I actually step into the church, like, you know, maybe show some love and smile? And not everyone received me that way. But that youth pastor kept investing in me. And he didn't give up on me. And to kind of wrap this up real quickly, you talk about 100 million things, but really quickly, one day I was hanging out with the youth group, and Rob, the youth pastor, he said, hey, we're planning a mission trip down to Mexico. No, I don't know what a mission trip is. Anyone here know what a mission trip is? If you don't, totally cool. We're in the same boat. It was around the time Mission Impossible was cool, and I thought it was just like a cool name for like a trip to Mexico. You know what I mean? Seriously, I was naive. Thought Tom Cruise was coming, you know, like, I didn't really know what it was, but he kind of explained it a little bit, and because we live in Canada, and it actually snows out in Ontario, like, any way you can get out of, like, winter, sign me up. So I signed up. I went to Rob, and I said, hey, I don't go to the church, really, can I sign up to go on this mission trip? And Rob goes, totally. He's kind of more excited about that, and he allowed me to come, and when I went down to Mexico, I remember the pastor, that night, a different guy, he was speaking. And he gave the talk. He talked about the love of God. He talked about this good news and what Jesus did for all of us. And he talked about the ones who identify as being the sinner. And I felt like in that moment, like, this message was for me. And he said this quote, which kind of changed things. I kind of came with this mindset when I started getting involved in church, when I thought, like, I'm not good enough. Like, if you had any idea what I did, you have any idea, like, how far off I am from any of this stuff, if anyone knew that, if God knew that, no way. And yes, I'm being introduced to his love by these different people. But I never thought I was good enough. And then the pastor down there, he said this quote. And he said, anytime the enemy reminds you of your past, remind him of your his future. Anytime the enemy reminds you of your past and makes you think what you did was so bad, so messed up, that your God's grace will not apply to you, remind the enemy of his future. And for whatever reason, that just spoke to me. It was like that weight coming off my shoulder. And I realized what Jesus did on that cross and his love, it applied to everyone. And no matter what I did, I was not disqualified by his grace. So these people in the story, the tax collector and the sinners, that's who I identify with. And I thank God that he is with everyone. And he speaks to everyone and he loves everyone. And like I said this morning, in this room, we might have people from each end of the spectrum or somewhere in between. And my hope this week is every single one of us can just understand the love of God, how much he loves everyone on such a real yet deeper level. Again, each night we're going to answer questions. We're going to have someone else give their story connected to what's happening in that day. We're going to call the worship team back up. And I'm going to pray while that happens. Lord God, here we are. Thank you again for all these people. Just to sit and listen. I don't take that for granted, Lord. I thank you for these people in the front row with matching socks as well. But Lord, seriously, thank you that I'm here and I can laugh. And thank you for what you've done in my life. Thank you that your grace is real grace. And thank you that your love did not disqualify someone like me. Thank you that your love did not disqualify anyone sitting here. Your love is unconditional. We'll talk about that, Lord. But with what you did in my life, Lord, my desire is for everyone here to take hold of that. You changed it. I can sit here and I can stand here and I can laugh. I can love people. I can show that fruit of the Spirit. I got this joy. I got this true life that I've been searching for all along. And my hope is every single person here that we can find it, regardless of what end of the spectrum that we're on, gets so easily to miss sometimes. So continue to be with us and speak to us and show us your love throughout the entire week in every aspect of camp, not just the talks, not just with the music, but not just even with small group, but even just hanging out with our leader through the game, through everything that we do. Show us who you are. You are love. I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, guys, we're going to sing together some more. The song we're going to sing is called Yes and Amen, and it's just a song that talks a little bit more about what Mike was sharing about his story of what God has done in his life. And I think that as we sing, as we reflect on the lyrics, that you'll see that it talks about how faithful God is to us, even when we don't recognize it. And it talks about that God is a kind Father, bringing us out of darkness, pouring grace into our lives, filling us with peace, giving us mercy, and helping us when we need Him. Lord, I can help Let's sing that verse again. Father of kindness, you have poured out grace. You brought me out of darkness, you have filled me with peace. Giver of mercy, you're my help in time of need. Lord, I can't help but sing.
All your promises are yes and amen. yes and amen. Oh, your promises are yes and amen.
tonight. Listen to these words again from Psalm 27. Listen, God, I'm calling at the top of my lungs. Be good, answer me. When my heart whispered, seek God, my whole being replied, I'm seeking him. Don't hide from me now. And think of Mike's story as we read. You've always been there, right there for me. Don't turn your back on me now. Don't throw me out. Don't abandon me. You've always kept the door open. My father and mother walked out and left me, but God took me in. I'm sure now I'll see God's goodness in the exuberant earth. Stay with God. Take heart. Don't quit. I'll say it again. Stay with God. As the band plays a song, a few more songs, or sorry, a bit of music, maybe one more song, I encourage you. Beginning to close our night, and it's only Sunday, and sometimes as the week goes on, we have opportunities at chapel to pray with your leaders or to sit and reflect on your own, write in your journal or read your Bible. But we're going to start that tonight, because why wait? So we're here now, and if you would like to remain and sing another song and take a posture of reflecting on what you've heard tonight and where it's hitting you, then please do. But also, if you're ready to move back to your cabin leaders, be aware of who stays and who goes, then you're more than welcome to head back and start resting and winding down her bed. Oh, sorry. I have an announcement. If you'd like to go water skiing tomorrow morning, go to the boat dock at 6:45.
I wanna hear voices.
of our night tonight. If you'd like to pray with someone, remain back. Otherwise, good night, and we'll see you in the morning.